You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Good afternoon and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show, coast to coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I host this business talk show, which airs live on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast at some point off in the future, I would encourage you to listen live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively here on www.octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. We do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives from around the country who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. Critical Mass Coast to Coast is brought to you through partnership of Critical Mass for Business with Executive Forums business owners in select markets across the United States. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their businesses to the next level. My book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, was the first book ever written about the peer group experience. It's available for .com. You can find it by typing in my name, Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. If you would like to learn more about CEO peer groups, then check out Executive Forums' website, which is www.executiveforums.com. If you want to join the conversation during the show today, go to the octalkradio.net community chat room, log on, post your thoughts. My producer, Paul Roberts, will be checking them and possibly will bring some of your ideas onto the show. We have three guests today. Let's turn our attention to our first guest. Our first guest is Gary Opedal, president and founder of To Be a Blessing Healthcare Services. Gary and I are going to be talking today about his choice in 2005, to form TBAB Healthcare Services. His firm has grown to offer services in home care, institutions, and hospitals, and currently has a staff of over 200 nurses and caregivers. Gary, welcome to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Hello, Rick, and I'm happy to be here.
I'm asking you to give us a bit of your background, Gary, that sort of predates 2005 when you started your current firm.
I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm an engineer by degree. Started my my work life out at Intel, and I thoroughly enjoyed that comeuppance. I was attracted out of Intel to start up a couple of firms. I've started up many firms in high tech and lasers and semiconductor lasers, and ended up starting up To Be a Blessing Healthcare because of a situation with my own mother and a home care situation where toward the end of her life, my dad was day shift. I was night shift when she asked us, please don't let anybody take her out of her own home.
And so could you specifically talk about the services that your firm provides and sort of how they're different in the marketplace?
Sure. The services we provide are around home care. And our mission is to be a blessing and to provide peace of mind for any family who's going through a health care crisis. We do that for the elderly with Footprints Home Care. And the main thing that makes us different in Footprints Home Care is the fact that we have a nurse, we have a social worker, we take care of all of those gaps that occur because people do not have a their own family doctor anymore. We get shuffled from specialist to specialist, and we have all kinds of ists in our lives, especially when we get when we're old. We have hospitalists; those are doctors that are in the hospital only, and this creates major gaps in the medical model. And just after starting up Footprints Home Care, I myself contracted cancer and went on the cancer conveyor, as we like to call it, and found out how difficult the medical model is to navigate. And so one of the things that we do is help people navigate that medical model and deal with those issues that occur. That's the main thing that makes us different.
That's interesting as you talk and answer that, Gary, because your space is very dynamic. There's federal reforms that are affecting the business, and it seems to me that you're in a very high potential growth arena for the future. Is that a fair assessment?
High growth or high death potential. It's very important to stay nimble and innovative. When we first started out, I started this business lodge. We're now at almost 250 providers, and you can drive off a cliff very, very quickly if you're not adaptable. I am personally on our legislative committee for our state's healthcare reform, and I'm a big believer that if you put your head in the sand, it's going to get lopped off. When I am testifying before that legislative committee, I'm very careful to represent business needs and small business needs, because if you don't have a seat at the table, you're going to end up on the menu. And it's very important not to bury your head in the sand and just hope that the healthcare reform doesn't happen to your business, because some version of it will.
Yeah, it's touching all areas of healthcare. I'd like to shift my questioning a little bit and ask you sort of a personal business question, which is, of all the things that you've learned in your business career, Gary, is there a overarching guiding principle that you use to lead your firm today?
There are several. One of the things I think is the biggest bane to an executive or a business owner is distraction, lack of peace with respect to your decision making. And we're all a little bit different, and stress hits us different ways. But to me, stress comes either a perceived lack of control or indecision. So I'm very passionate about making sure that myself and my staff are not distracted by things that are not moving the company forward. So we take our decision-making processes very seriously, and we always make sure that we're not into a position of feeling like we have a lack of control. I tell people that the time to make a decision is when you have the data to make a wise decision. And so collecting that data, making sure that you do a good analysis of what the situation, what the background, your analysis of that, what your recommendation is, based on that, is really the basis for critical decision making, which is very important, especially in a small business. You could argue that your first 4 years are first one is orientation, the second year is experimentation, the third year is adjustment, and the fourth year is mastery. Now, most entrepreneurs don't put up with that length of 4 years. So what we try to do is make sure that we make disproportionate progress along those lines in our key areas of revenue development, providing services, human resources, and systems development. So I guess the bottom line there is, success equals achievement while living your values every day. And it's very important not to get distracted by a feeling of lack of control, or a feeling that you're not making decisions properly.
Well, Gary, I am very focused, as are my business partners around the country, on the quality of the decisions that owners and founders and presidents of mid-market and entrepreneurial companies make, because I completely agree with you that it's the quality of those decisions and enabling your organization to help the leader with the quality of the decisions that are a great determinant to the business's future success.
Well, as a matter of fact, I believe that there's the five rules of every business: is hire better, delegate better, leverage your systems and technology better, get out of the way better, and then do your particular strengths better. And as a matter of fact, I'm going down right now as of January 1st to about 10 hours a week, and taking more of a chairman role in this business, because I've gotten three officers who are going to continue on so that I can concentrate fully on my strengths.
I love that, because we always look for here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast learning moments, opportunities when members of the audience can hear something from a guest and apply it into their business. And I think much of business is transferable, the knowledge, which is why we do this show. And I think what you gave us in your five points is something to reflect on, and probably something that I'll be talking to future guests about and people that I know in the community to listen to the show to kind of pick up that nugget. So thanks for giving the gift of knowledge. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We're big fans here for CEO peer groups. I wrote the book on the subject, business partners. We work to help business leaders with the quality of decisions they make through the peer group experience. I'm wondering if you have any direct experience that you would like to discuss where either you've personally benefited from being surrounded by other peer business owners, or you kind of realize now looking back on a decision or two that you've made in your recent past, how valuable it might have been if you would have been able to seek the counsel of other peer business owners.
Well, okay, every business goes through phases, okay? If you're a solopreneur, you can face a lot of issues if you don't understand where your strengths lie and where they do not. A solopreneur is going to be limited in any business sense across the board from healthcare to technology. I've done most of those. And I tell you that a solopreneur is going to be limited to about a $500,000, $750,000 or less business because they are not going to be able to spread themselves enough across the decision making. The next phase is kind of your inside-outside, which is my favorite, where you have an inside person who does the regulatory, the financial management, the processes and systems of the organization. The outside person is into business development, community involvement, and getting out there and selling the product. So going from solopreneur to inside-outside is huge. And if you're an inside or an outside, what you do is you hire who you're not. Then you get to functional management. Now, the reason I take you through that is because it's very important. The smaller you are and the more you're in a situation of either solopreneur or inside-outside, to have a group of folks around you who can help you with those kinds of decisions and who've been there, done that, so to speak, in anything that comes up with respect to employment law and practice, with respect to mergers and acquisitions, with respect to how to grow a business, along any of the major components of, you know, like I said, the revenue development, providing services, human resources, or systems development. And if you don't have other people around you, you cannot make good decisions. Einstein said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, that the same mind that created the problem cannot solve it. So it's critical that you involve yourself with people around you. If nothing else, pick five things and report out on them, you know, every week. When I first started up, it was get and keep great caregivers, get and keep great clients, build a network in the community, build infrastructure internally, and be a blessing. And what I would do is report out on that every week to an advisory board of other folks that I had pulled together. That makes me accountable. It helps them with ideas, helps me with ideas.
You know, many of the characteristics and qualities of that, and the word that I hung on right there, Gary, was accountable. In our peer group experience, when we review the progress that we're making with each member, you know, throughout the year, we always hear that they would like us to hold them even more accountable. You know, my experience is high-achieving individuals like to be held accountable for their usually achieve them, and they have a sense of satisfaction up against making their goals. And so that accountability area is really important for a business owner.
Yeah, I take that to an extreme. I've got a little program in my phone where I check off things as I go during the day. I have to have the little check off thing to know that I'm accomplishing what I want. I'm a big believer in you got to do your weekly and daily pedaling, so to speak. You're pedaling your bike, keeping it going. Jim Collins calls it, you know, making the flywheel go. But, you know, the thing is that we are so different. And you have to understand there's people who are very goal-oriented. There's people who are energized by solving problems, and then there's opportunists. It's a lot, you know, so some entrepreneurs who are opportunists, boy, they've got to surround themselves with people who are problem solvers and goal-oriented people. Because if they don't, you know, they're going to come back to the office with 15 new ideas every other day, and the staff's going to have their heads spin off. So it's very important to understand which of those three you are and make sure that you're surrounding yourself with others. And opportunists like me, boy, if I don't have people around me holding me accountable and putting my feet on the ground, I can kill a business faster than I can create them.
I really appreciate the fact that you not only know what you're good at, but you also know where you have gaps and that you surround yourself and respect the people who have other skills. That's probably why you've been one of the reasons why you've been a successful serial entrepreneur all these many years, Gary. I'd like to ask you, if I could, if you would share with us a current challenge that's facing your business.
Well, a current challenge is there's an easy one there. As the economy declines, For instance, in footprints, I've got three operating companies, but in footprints, if you've got people who are unemployed in the family, well, they're going to take care of the loved one, and that could cause a significant decline in the business, because one of the things that we do is provide caregivers to the home to help out when the other folks in the family are busy doing other work. And so that's a significant challenge to our business, and one that we have to make sure that we're on top of. Our average length of stay for a client has gone from 54 months down to a range of 5 to 7 months, depending on the tiers. So it's very important to watch your business and to make sure that you're ranking each of your clients or each of your business areas, whatever your particular business is, by margin, and making sure that you're still making money in each of the areas that you're in each of your business lines. And we actually do it per client. So we work on innovation. We work on our niches. We work on our processes. We work on differentiating ourselves. And that's how we've been able to, quote-unquote, ride out this storm and even grow. And I think that if you get scared, and I think business fear is different than personal fear, but it has the same result. If you exhibit business fear, you can actually freeze and not do the very things that you need to do and keep peddling.
You know, it's and what better time than through the past few years with the recession and the tough economy, that if the leader shows that concern, it just seems to be amplified and multiplied within their organization. You almost have to be, many of the leaders that we work with have to feel like they've had to be almost a calming influence. Even if they don't have that totally under control, they've got to exhibit it in their companies to provide positive leadership for their people.
Yeah, if you're scared and you hide yourself in your office, and then that's going to reflect clear through the organization. I think that people need to see you as an optimist, but a realist. I mean, I believe in brutal honesty, but I also know that we'll be able to survive anything that the economy or regulations or the Obamacare, anything that is thrown at us. We will survive and adapt. It's been one of our major strengths, and that's not going to stop based on the economy or anything else.
Gary, it's been a pleasure having you as my guest today on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. If our audience would like to learn more about your firm, where would they find your firm on the Internet?
Well, you could certainly go to www.footprintshomecare.com, and that is the Footprints website. And hopefully you'll see some of my 52 videos in 52 weeks. That is my personal goal. And could always contact me by email on there at gary@tobeablessinghealthcareservices.com.
Well, thank you for the time to be on the show. Thanks for being a friend of the radio program. And welcome to the Critical Mass for Business community.
Thank you, Rick. Take care.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
That was our first guest of three today on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. We'll be right back with our second guest, Tony DeSanti, owner of American Metals, right after this sponsorship moment.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. As I said before the break, it's my pleasure to welcome Tony DeSanti, owner of American Metals Company, to be on the show. They've been serving Arizona since 1975, back before recycling was considered an important part of our daily lives, or that being green was the right thing to do. American Metals has given individuals, industry, and government entities a place to take and recycle their metals. Welcome, Tony, to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it.
It's good to have you here. Why don't we talk a bit? I told a little bit about your firm, but help us to understand a little bit more about American Metals Company and what makes you different in the marketplace.
Sure. American Metals, we are going on our 28th year now. One of the things that differentiates us, I think, from typical just recycling is we are full-service recycling, so that does mean we accept every metal from, I always say, aluminum to zinc, and we always are trying to find new homes, if you will, for materials so that things don't end up in the landfill. On the flip side, we actually offer new steel products as well. So a lot of our customers are fabricators and manufacturers that are purchasing the new steel from us, and these are our same customers that in turn we're purchasing their scrap metal from them and recycling that as well.
So you have the opportunity to provide them with new product, and you also have the chance to pick up the recyclable parts that they didn't use and make sure that material gets put back into productive use.
Exactly.
Outstanding. I love the A to zinc, aluminum to zinc. That is such a – I don't know how long you were in business before you hit on that, but that's an easy-to-remember kind of thing about your business.
Yeah, it works pretty well.
Yeah. Can you tell me and the audience, of all the things you've learned in your business career, Tony, you have a guiding principle that you use to lead American Metals?
Yeah. One of the things that I really learned is to be proactive and out in front, if you will, of all the changes that affect our company. It could be industry changes. Legislative changes are very impactful for us. Customers. The last thing you want to be is the person to find out something, you know, last, if you will, and have to react after the fact.
Okay. Can you give us a recent example, if there is one, where maybe that principle came home to kind of roost relative to you knowing that is a powerful concept?
Sure. One of the things that affected us quite strongly that I wish we were more proactive on is I'm sure everybody's had somewhat of touched upon metal theft with commodity prices, and there's been a strong outcry for the way to curtail this, and especially the damages that are done besides the theft itself. And a lot of the legislative changes have happened. And unfortunately, we were late to the table, if you will, when a lot of these bills were proposed and being pushed through the legislative branch. And they not only significantly change our business as far as the protocol and the regulation, but there's a lot of financial burdens that we had to incur to comply with these regulatory matters. So we certainly learned the hard way, if you will, not to be proactive and be involved with our legislators and making sure that the whole story is being told.
Yeah, sometimes it's what you don't know that when you finally learn it can be very challenging for a business leader to navigate through it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Could you talk with us about CEO peer groups? I am an advocate. I wrote a book on the subject. I know that Steve in your market and other executive forums business leaders across the country work very closely with business owners and executives to help them make better decisions. Can you share with us an opportunity or a time when you can think of that people outside your business, peer business owners and executives in your market, were able to give you insight or advice that proved valuable? Or, looking back on it now, Tony, you kind of wish you would have been able to have that advisory board around you to help you think through a decision that you had to make.
Sure. One of the big ones for me is just we do have, you know, industry trade groups. And even though a lot of these gentlemen or peers are competitors, there's a wealth of information to be learned from other peers that are out there, whether it be industry trends, new advances in technology, any of those type of things. So I really have been trying to spend a lot more time with my peers and also with my customers. My customers, even though it's, you know, many different industries, you can learn a lot from the challenges that they are facing to help prepare yourself when growing your own business. I'll use the example with the manufacturers. A lot of our manufacturers have certainly been trying to find better ways to streamline their businesses with such a reduction in some of these manufacturing facilities. So, you know, there's a lot of topics on, you know, purchasing steel, staying on top of commodity prices. And a lot of times what drives a commodity price like new steel is, of course, the scrap metal price. So if you're watching the scrap metal and you're watching that scrap metal, the price is increasing, most likely you're going to see that increase passed on to your new steel within about, say, 2 to 4 weeks. So it's a way to certainly another indicator to help trend, you know, watch that trend and prepare for if you're doing quotes or you're forecasting your budget for what your costs are going to be. It's an excellent indicator to use.
You know, Tony, that answer makes me think of another question, which is a little bit of a tangent. But because of your business model, does rising prices of commodities help you or hurt your business? Is it an opportunity or a challenge for you when the basic raw material pricing is increasing?
Actually, it's both, and I'll tell you why. On one end, it certainly helps because it makes scrap metal and recycling in whole more attractive to consumers to recycle. So we definitely see more people conscious, if you will, of what materials they have and is it worthwhile for them to bring those in, per se. Is it worth their time for the amount of money they're going to get paid? But on the flip side, again, if raw materials go up, you're certainly going to see those costs be carried over to manufacturing sides or people that are using these fabricators, all those, anything that's using those end products, those costs are going to be carried over to them. So then you see that increase on the flip side. So our company, I watch both ends and I see it happen. I see scrap prices increase, which is good for our scrap metal recycling division, but then when I have to in turn purchase new steel, I'm also getting the price increases from the mill saying we have to increase our prices due to raw material costs.
Isn't that typical of a business executive and a business owner? There's never anything that's purely good news, and there's never anything that's purely bad news.
I agree.
Yeah, it's your job to figure out how to leverage both sides and still make money at the end of the day.
It's balance.
It is, isn't it? I wonder if you could share with us in your business experience where you learned a valuable business lesson, but unfortunately it kind of came through a difficult experience at the time.
Well, I'll retort back to, again, that not being active with the legislative arm, if you will, of our business and how that affects us. We really had to, you know, change a lot of things at our business, and it, there was a large financial burden for us. So that was one of the biggest things that really made me wake up, if you will, that there's more to, you know, just sales or costs in operating a business. You need to monitor, you need to be out there, whether it's technology, labor issues, you know, market forces for us, of course, because commodity prices, but really for us, even just the legislation side and knowing what's going on outside the walls of your office really can impact your business.
That's the kind of lesson that once you learn it, Tony, you probably never forget.
Absolutely.
And another learning moment here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, where one business owner gives their experience to the many, and hopefully some in our audience will take heed of what you said and try to figure out what in their industry they don't know, so they can set about trying to figure out how to mitigate it if it's going to be a challenge to their business in the future. Thanks for sharing that perspective, Tony. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, can you talk now? I mean, you're kind of a green company, right? I mean, you're recycling and you're doing good things, and I mean that's and there's certainly been a lot of energy and ideas about how to further invest in green industries in this country. Can you talk about what you see as a growth opportunity that you're facing in American Metals Company and kind of what might mean to the firm if you're able to capitalize on it?
Sure. One of the big opportunities for us is, of course, to provide a much better and faster service for our customers. One of the things we've been working on currently is to re-engineer, if you will, the process of our yard to increase and improve that flow by redesigning our manufacturing process. We can provide a faster service and also increase our capacity. And again, I think that boils down to our customers when, you know, time is money. And if they have to sit there and spend a lot of time waiting to recycle this material, there is the cost-benefit issue in their mind that is this worth my time to bring, whether it's aluminum cans or steel of some type or whatever it is, we need to make sure that they're in and out in a timely fashion so it does work to their benefit.
So time is money.
Absolutely.
Great. If someone out there is listening to this show, either live today or maybe in the future on a podcast through iTunes or something, and they say, hey, American Metals Company and Tony DeSanti, I'd like to learn more about them. Can you share with us where your web presence is and how people would find you?
Sure. You can always look at our website. It's just www.amcrecycling.com. Or they're more than welcome to email me directly at Tony, T-O-N-Y, at amcrecycling.com.
Well, I appreciate your business model. I personally feel good that people in your community are working with you to recycle metals and unwanted products. And thanks for taking time to be on the show. Welcome to the Critical Mass for Business community. And I appreciate you being a friend of our radio program.
No problem. Thank you so much again. I appreciate you guys inviting me on the show.
You're welcome, Tony. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much.
You know, on Critical Mass Coast to Coast, it's exciting for me as the host to extend our brand into various other markets outside of California, throughout the United States. I want to thank my Renaissance Executive Forum's business partners in the selected markets for helping to find thoughtful business leaders to become a part of this program. We're going to be back with our third thoughtful business leader coming from the East Coast, David Child, who is CEO of Tectonic Toys. But first, we're going to step away for this sponsorship message.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi. As I said before we went away for that sponsorship moment, our third and final guest today on the program is David Child, who is CEO of Tectonic Toys. We're going to be talking about how his business enables clients to interact directly with the three-dimensional universe. And you can do that with one simple, ingenious invention called the Tectonic Hinge. You know, this product has been called the hydrogen of building toys. Now, how can that not be an interesting interview? And I'd like to welcome David to the program.
Good afternoon, Rick.
It's great to have you here. Let's get right into it. Tell us about your fascinating company. And in addition to what I said on the open there, what marketplace, David?
Well, this is not just a building toy. It's much more than a building toy. It's all about learning and understanding the structure of the universe. And what makes them special is that you can build what are known as the five regular solids with them. And for anybody that wants a visual reference, you can always go to tectonictoys.com to take a look at what I'm going to be talking about.
Well, you know, I did that in preparation for our time together today on the show, and I was fascinated by your inventions and your product. And so we're going to talk more about what it is you do and how you help clients. Before we get there, I wonder if I could ask you if you would share with us your guiding principle for how you lead your firm.
Well, I'd say one of the biggest things is one of the guiding principles is how to improve the quality of play for people of all ages. And having the idea is to invent high-quality products that get people to think a little bit differently about the world. And so I'm in the business of creating intellectual novelties along the same lines as Rubik's Cube or some of the other things that have fascinated us in the past.
Yeah, the Rubik's Cube is fascinating. Matter of fact, inside of our peer groups, I have a member who insists that when we set up the room, I have at least one fresh Rubik's Cube for him to work on during the meeting. It's just what he likes to do as he learns from the other businesses. I would imagine if I had some of your product in the room, some of our people would be just fascinated by them.
Yeah, well, I'll be sure to send some along.
Perfect. I wasn't fishing for that, but great.
You got
my address. You'll be a hit. You know, talking about CEO peer groups, I'm an advocate. It's obvious with the book. The people that I work with across the country, like Ken in your market, very much believing in how business owners can help make better decisions from surrounding themselves with peers. Could you share with us a time when you can reflect on when outside help, outside peers gave you insight and advice that helped you make a better decision or maybe avoid a decision that could have caused a challenge for your business?
Certainly. I would have to say that especially early on, I relied pretty heavily on retired businessmen that are associated with technology centers, and they were very helpful in the whole process of really taking a look at this invention and seeing, okay, what is the best application for it? What is the best thing to do with it? Originally, this was a patent-pending frame system. And the idea was to, in order to keep it small and keep it economical, develop it as a toy. And that's where Tectonic Toys comes from. So a lot of my early direction was the idea of, even though I'm thinking big, keep it small, and that simplifies the whole production process, storage, you name it. It makes everything a little bit easier having a product that's as small as possible.
That is a perfect example of I think of that as business Sherpas, you know, people that have been over the terrain before that can help an entrepreneur avoid some of the rocks and challenges on your path. And sometimes you can't really quantify the impact of good insight and advice, but it has such a domino effect inside follow-on decisions that you make and business structures that you're here today if it wasn't for some of that early insight and advice. That sounds like it maybe applies to your situation, David.
Yeah, and I'd say it's important to be on the lookout if, you know, there's anybody out there with a new idea that they're exploring. It's to be on the lookout for people that are believers and people that get it. They get the idea. And I ran into more than a few of them, and they were very helpful in helping me stay on course and also to not lose hope, to not lose faith, you know, in the process.
You know, your product has been called the hydrogen of building toys. I need to ask you, can you give me some background to that?
Okay, well, a couple years ago, I went to a National Science Teachers Convention with these toys. And what is interesting about Tectonic Toys and what makes them unique is that as a building toy, there is only one module. And just like hydrogen, hydrogen is kind of the building block for all the matter in the universe. And so along those same lines, this particular building toy, you only need one part and you can make whatever you like. And it actually is a great way to model the molecule salt, for example, or to build geodesic shapes. There's a shape called carbon 60, which is also known as the buckyball, and it's named after Buckminster Fuller, who first discovered the shape, and then they found the shape in nature. So wow. There are a lot of very interesting connections to science and art as well, and what's really neat is that it's just one part that is very card-like and flat when it comes in the box, and then when you start playing it, you start to discover the third dimension with it.
Wow. That, I would encourage all who are listening, either live or at a future time off of one of our podcasting sites, to visit your website. And I'm going to ask you to share with that your website in a little bit, but because to see the videos and to understand the product, it really helps to connect with what you're talking about. I've done that, and so I can connect to it, but I would encourage others in the audience to do that as well at some point in the future. If not right now, if you're listening live, we'll give you the website here in a couple minutes. I wonder, David, if you would share a current challenge that's facing the firm and the steps that you're taking or plan to take to mitigate that challenge.
Well, I'd say I'd go back to the concept of keeping the faith and sticking to my guns, and also understanding other inventions and the other processes that have happened. It's kind of waiting for the rest of the world to catch up. So one thing that's been very encouraging lately is that, like a year ago, I always had to go out and seek other people, and now, in just one short year, other people are starting to come and talk to me. But I think the biggest point and the biggest difficulty to overcome is that even though I've really come up with something unique and wonderful, as unique and wonderful it is, people will not beat a path to my door until I really found some milestone events to really get the product out there. And one such event was the I was able to appear on QVC, and in the course of 7 minutes, I was able to sell over 1,000 boxes of these toys. So I'm starting to get traction, and people are starting to come to me a little bit, but I still have to stay poised and continue to reach out to the rest of the world to try to really promote this thing.
David, I've got to ask. First entrepreneur that I've had on the show that has used either QVC or one of the other services to move volume. What was the emotion you were feeling as that was going on for you?
You mean while I was on air?
After, as you saw the tally and the sales and you made the realization that it was having a positive impact.
Very wonderful. And it's just just a good reassuring fact, a good shot in the arm that, you know, this isn't just some crazy idea, and the fact that QVC would even let me on was just a huge boost.
I have to feel that it's sort of it's validation that I'm down the right path. If I can get the right channels, they will buy, and they will buy in volume. And I would think it would be motivating to go out and really continue to work on your channels of distribution because you know there's a market for it.
Yep, absolutely. And I actually had someone in the United Kingdom come to me just recently and really had a desire to be a distributor of the toys in that area. And it was funny because I started to, you know, we were sending emails back and forth, and I started to give him the pitch, and he immediately shot back. He says, "You don't have to sell me on this. I know how good these are," you know. So that was very encouraging. But definitely distribution's where it's at, and the ball is just starting to roll. I really am still kind of at the beginning of the process.
David, my producer posted a comment that someone would like you to address, which is, how did you get on? How were you able to secure the time and get on the program so that you could have the opportunity to show your product to the audience?
Well, I would call it a series of postponed successes that led to my being able to get onto QVC. And so the year before, I was able to get onto QVC and make a splash with the toys. I took 3 months and rented a cart at the airport and just started selling them to the foot traffic at the airport. And I would have to say that it was just kind of serendipity that one of the main buyers for QVC walked by. She liked what she saw. She gave me her card, and I was in the pipeline to get on QVC a year later.
Okay, so I wish I had a bell or something that I could have my producer ring whenever we have these learning moments. But
yes,
you just gave us a learning moment, David, in that you never know the outcome and consequences of your actions. But that is a pretty brave thing to do for many entrepreneurs in that airport. That is amazing and interesting. I love it.
Yeah, and you have to be prepared to have people call you a madman and try to talk you out of it, too. So there were several advisors that said, you're crazy. You should not be doing this, you know. And I can see their point looking back on it. But, you know, things are working out. So sometimes you just have to go with your gut and, just go for it and do the best you can and see how it all works out.
Because in the end, it's your business as the entrepreneur, and you've got to do what you believe is best for the business. That's one of the overarching principles that we have in our peer groups, David, that you can get advice from the other 9 business leaders around the table, but at the end of the day, you have to make the decision because it's your business, and that's what follow your instincts. So thanks for sharing that for me, and thanks to the audience for listening to that, because maybe that marketing idea that you've been thinking about out there that maybe sounds a little off the wall, maybe it'll lead you to something that's an unintended opportunity that you hadn't expected. It may not, but it might.
Right.
Okay, one final question.
Sure.
If you could share with us where you see the next growth opportunity in the evolution of your firm, and as you're able to successfully leverage that growth opportunity, where does it position you and your firm in the future?
Well, one of the biggest things that I did learn from the airport was the educational applications. It happened to be the summer when I was selling these toys, and there were many teachers that were traveling, and they tended to be the demographic that got the most excited about these, you know, the ones that really took a close look at them and saw what was going on. So that is a big push for me, and to really push them as an educational tool and something that is helping the students to think differently and also to cross different disciplines, if you will, or different subject areas. So it's not just about chemistry, it's not just about molecular biology, it's not just about material science, it's a device that teaches all aspects of these things. And I see the most potential in that area at the moment.
Oh, and that is a huge market opportunity, and I'm glad that you said that, because I hadn't thought about that in talking with you or preparing for the interview, but now that you brought that into my conscious, that is such an obvious, you know, but I wouldn't have thought about it, and I really do believe that's a great vein and channel for you to pursue with your product. If someone would like to learn more about your firm, the hydrogen of building toys, or you, David Childs, as CEO and founder of the company, where do they find you on the internet?
Okay, well, that would be Tectonic Toys. And tectonic is spelled exactly the same way that tectonic plates, the geological process, is spelled. And that is TECTONICTOYS, Tectonic Toys, just the way it sounds. And one thing I like to say is that tectonic plates have reshaped the world in the way of oceans and continents. And Tectonic Toys are going to start to reshape how we see the world.
You are the second guest on today on this show today, Critical Mass Coast to Coast, that has had an interesting kind of tagline that goes along with their brand that's memorable. So thanks for that. That's another learning moment for our audience, how important it is for the leaders of the company to be able to create awareness in the minds of the people that they're talking to. So, David Child, CEO of Tectonic Toys, thank you for being a guest on the show, a friend of the show, and welcome to the Critical Mass for Business community.
Well, thank you. Very grateful to be on with you today.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I hope you've enjoyed our show today, Critical Mass Coast to Coast, and the three interviews have provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to make better decisions. I certainly have just found a thrill, frankly, and the time just flew by. Hallelujah, my producer says. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you'd like magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. If you'd like to learn more about CEO peer groups, then check out our website, www.executiveforums.com. And so until the next show, I would be remiss in not saying, if you're listening live, stay tuned for my business partner, Doug Gefeller, hosting his show next right here on octalkradio.net. That show, The Coaching Perspective, starts at 4 p.m. live on octalkradio.net. Anyway, this is the host, Rick Franzi, saying until the next show, I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, only on octalkradio.net.